Madam Secretary.
Director Sheldon.
Present.
Director Vanderbilt.
Here.
Director Sarmiento. Director Nguyen. Director Yeo. Director Green.
Yep.
Director Whitaker. Director Dwayne. Director Ta. And Director Bilodeau. We have three members of the committee that's called.
Thank you.
Any items received too late to be agenda?
There are not.
Great.
I do want to note that one item was revised, and that's in the packet that was posted, it was reposted on Wednesday.
Oh, then I probably have already, I've got the old one.
It's a minor change.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I think I did see something.
Any members of the public who would like to speak on public comments or an item on the consent? Seeing none, we'll move to the consent. Is there a motion on consent?
Move it.
Second.
All right, we have motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye. And an aye?
Yes.
Passed by three members unanimously. We'll move to the first item for consideration.
Okay, the first item is a utility agreement with Orange County Transportation Authority and Caltrans for the relocation of a 16-inch pipeline. So Caltrans, and I've been in the committee before a couple of times about some easement rights and also fee right purchases that OCTA has made for the Interstate 405 freeway widening project. There was a portion of Deep Well 4 and a portion of Deep Well 5 that was sold in fee to OCTA for the widening project and some easements as well. And now, as part of Caltrans' project and OCTA's project, they're planning to put in a signage across the freeway and footing that will take up some room on Spencer Avenue. Spencer Avenue is, here's the district here, here's the Santa Ana River 405 here, so Spencer runs along here. So Caltrans needs, or I keep saying Caltrans, but it's OCTA, needs to relocate the pipeline. And because the district's pipeline is in the street under a franchise, under the state's franchise agreement, there are no reimbursement rights from OCTA or Caltrans. And we did have a little correspondence between OCTA legal counsel and also Joel about those rights, and I think Joel, you concurred with that. So
we essentially have a license right rather than an easement right, and as such, we're at risk if they want to relocate the facilities.
Did that surprise you?
I was going to be really flip and say nothing surprises me anymore, but some public agencies take most of their pipeline rights by franchise or by license. I think OCWD, mostly because we don't have smaller lines. Most of our lines are bigger lines. We try to get easements, and the easements protect us usually. It may just be an older line. I guess it surprises me a bit just because most of what I see is easement.
Although there are some agencies that when we go for an easement...
Won't give it to us.
...will not give us an easement, they'll only give us a license. And Edison is one of those utilities. So if we want to use an Edison right-of-way, they will not issue easements. They will only issue licenses. So if you want to get your project through their property, you have to negotiate a license agreement with them.
And even if you get an easement, it's whatever the terms of the easement are. So, you could get an easement from a party, and the easement says, if we relocate, OCWD has to pay for it. So, we try to negotiate
the best we can.
Best we can, right. And in most cases.
That's what surprised me, is that we have to pay for it.
In most easements that cities grant have that clause in there, that if something happens and there's an improvement made, that whoever has the easement has to relocate the utility. That is very, very common.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually the that's the basic law. And then we normally try to get the exception.
Got it.
And staff did do quite a bit of research on this to try to find out if there was some easement document. I know the city of Fountain Valley had been contacted. I know OCTA did quite a bit of research as well. And among all of us, we just didn't find any easement rights. I think an easement, and Mr. Joe Toulson from OCTA is here today. He's been in front of the committee before. But had there been an easement, probably would have had other rights here.
Exactly. Yeah. And from our perspective, a lot of these cities, it becomes almost confrontational. We're not here to do a project and do anything other than to charge that entity. But the problem that we always have is if we, in fact, say, oh, we'll pay for it, and then somebody audits us, they say, hey, you misused the public funding element. So we just wanted to look hard and find a way that was in some type of right that we could fund it, but we just couldn't find it.
Okay, as long as I know that we...
And we will contact the City of Fountain Valley and talk to them about potentially having easement or something else, some other instrument or permit to have this pipeline in the street. I know, I believe under Ellis, we have an easement with the city for the pipeline that runs under Ellis for the saltwater barrier. So the
city owns the street and fee.
Yes.
And they assigned their rights to OCTA to do this.
I'm not sure about the mechanism.
OCTA doesn't own the street.
Correct.
It's usually a cooperative agreement of some sort.
There's got to be some agreement. I mean, because Fountain Valley's land.
Right. And the way that the Streets and Highways Code is written, if it's a dedicated corridor, you follow Streets and Highways Code. The Streets and Highways Code is what identifies the use of the property. The legal, the attorneys can talk more about it than I can, but the property right as it exists as today is like a franchise right. The franchise right in itself requires that the relocation burden fall upon the owner. Again, the state of California has its own superseding right over cities, which I'm sure your attorney could probably be a lot better at that discussion. I had lengths of discussions with this particular issue with our legal counsel, David DeBerry, and of course he researched this heavily because of the sensitivity in the payment of the dollars for this.
What if Fountain Valley gave us an easement on it tomorrow?
If you could acquire an easement from Fountain Valley for this particular facility, and it was in place for prior to the project, then it's probably a separate discussion.
And when's the project?
Well, we need to sign the utility agreement soon, and when the project is ongoing
now. It's ongoing, but right.
This particular relocation is slated within the next few months, probably more at the beginning of the first quarter.
I'm just being trying to get here. Too smart.
What we are trying.
Give me a think of that, Joel.
I mean, theoretically, if we got the easement rights before we signed the agreement, then we could argue we have prior rights. People may.
It is pretty
arch their eyebrows a bit at that one.
Right. I'm just saying. I mean, if you don't mind paying, we ran out and got an easement. I'm just thinking out loud.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Fountain Valley ask us for 90% of the value of what's in that contract for the easement.
I would. No, it's not like we're costing them anything. Okay. All right. I get it.
So, at that point, the staff recommendation is authorize the general manager or his designee to complete negotiation of the terms and execute the Transportation Authority Utility Agreement for the $122,684 at OCWD's expense. And the reason that the recommended action is to negotiate and execute is there are a couple of terms in the utility agreement that I think that staff would like to see clarified. They're not really substantive, but we still want to finish talking to OCTA about. But there is a bit of a time urgency on this. And that's the first recommendation. The second one is to authorize a payment of $122,684 to OCTA in conformance with the negotiated utility agreement. So they draw from that money based on invoicing from the contractor, and then if there's any funding left, that's returned to the district. But however, if there's an overrun, then the district would have to pay the overrun, and I'd be back in front of the committee.
How often does that happen?
It's turn that over to Mr. Coulson.
So we were talking about invoicing and how we would do that. I don't see us invoicing this work. It's a small piece of a very large $1.9 billion project. We will invoice. I'm sure we'll sit down and reconcile costs. The only way I would see that there would be an overrun is we have to replace more of your line for some other reason. I don't anticipate any of that. It's a, like we talked about, a site structure. There's a retaining wall in there. It's a very limited area. So as far as we even talked about timing, I don't anticipate this invoicing this till well after the completion of the work, and we sit down and let's say reconcile the quantities, and we will have people out there watching the work, what we call in force account, time and materials, making sure that the work is we track it properly. It is not a time and materials piece of work. The contractor's already got into his bid, so that means he's not going to be incentivized to be lazy with his work process. So I think it all points in the right direction to get a good cost, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you. And for you, time is of the essence?
It is.
Okay. I understand. Sometimes we get a check from OCT, or from Caltrans, and sometimes we write a check to Caltrans or OCTA. So.
We usually write a check. Yeah. Seems to me. No offense, Roger. He's Caltrans.
Okay. Any other questions? the committee have any questions? Is there a motion?
Move
to support the staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Director Yeo. All in favor?
Aye.
It passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for getting the freeway expanded.
Thank you.
You can hurry that up, though.
Thank you. I already had one.
Okay. Waiting there.
Wait. I offered.
Okay, so our next item?
The next item is Amendment 2 to Gentry Golf Lease and request by Gentry Golf for rent relief. So I'm going to cover a lot of ground, I think, on this one here.
This is my other, all the questions everywhere.
Okay. So back in April, the board had authorized staff to negotiate a one-year amendment to the Gentry Golf Lease, and that was primarily because of the issues with Caltrans and the property there, and trying to negotiate and decertify the property, the Caltrans property. And so I'm coming back to the committee and the board with an amendment to that, to lease, to extend it for a year. As part of the discussions, also with Michael Green of Gentry Golf, general manager, he has repeatedly for the last few years complained about the excessive rent, loss of golf balls through the tubes that run into Burris Basin. He's complained about lack of water in the basins and how damaging this is to the business. And the upshot of that is a few years ago, the committee actually had asked him to provide profit and loss or revenue statements for the business, and he never did.
Right.
And so recently he's asked about the rent again, and I advised him to please provide P&L statements, profit and loss statements, and take a look and we'll consider it. And up until writing of the staff report, he had not done this. However, I did call him after Marcus received a letter from him, which I advised him to send a letter requesting relief. And I did meet with him yesterday, and he did provide revenue statements for the last 2.5 years, which just got him just starting to take a look at them. And he is suggesting perhaps, or coming out of the discussion with him, maybe a revenue-based lease, and with a minimum rent, which is very similar to what we're doing with Corona Recreation. So where we left it is he and I would bring it to the committee and get direction from the committee on rent relief, and then go back and discuss it with him and come back to the committee again with a recommendation. As part of all this, you'll recall a few months ago, we had come to the committee, staff had come to the committee regarding some delinquent rents. And of all the delinquent, there were five lessees we had gone back and calculated rents on. All of the lessees have paid those delinquent rents, except for Gentry Golf. And Mr. Green is saying that they can't afford to do it, that it's a lot of money, that he thought that he was being given a rent relief by that we hadn't invoiced him, which we don't invoice, actually. But on top of that, that their business is already hurting as it is. However, he seemed to be inclined to think if we could work out a rent relief, that maybe he can make some payment plan along with this too. And I said, well, let's take a look. I'll just mention it to the committee. Take a look and see if we can work something out that would be palatable to both parties. And the other issue is the long-term lease. He's saying that he's advised that it's really hurt the business. They had some investors for a long-term lease that they've lost now and would like to negotiate a long-term lease. And I wasn't prepared really to get into that today's meeting, but I just wanted to bring it up again. I know that there's the issues with Caltrans that need to be resolved, which I'm still trying to get a meeting with them. And I think that the committee has discussed a couple of times some potential development at that basin.
Right.
So, and I advise Mr. Green of that. So for today, the staff recommendation number one is to approve and authorize execution of Amendment 2 to the lease that extends it to the end of next September. And the other one is to provide direction on rent relief and the waiving of the delinquent rent.
Do we really want him as a lessee? Wouldn't this be a good time to just cut them loose and move on?
From a lessee point of view, other than what we're disputing right now, mm-hmm. I think they've paid their rents on time.
It's always so much trouble.
Renters.
Okay.
I would
You're nicer than me.
As far as impacting the district operations, they don't have as much direct impact on our operations. So from that point of view, it's not a issue from an operational perspective.
How about on a security, like the fact that you have a tenant there, does that provide some some benefit in terms of making sure the property isn't vandalized or?
Yes. Although a few years ago we did have to get involved in calling a police department to make sure that they patrol. They had some break-ins, and Gentry Golf asked the district for some help in leveraging the police department. But they provide security, just like all the lessees. In fact, a lot of the landscaping lessees, the rent's not a lot, but they're providing security on those premises. So they do bring that benefit. Director Green, to answer your question, I think that Gentry may have, there are some issues that, yes, may be reasonable, and there are some that I think are not reasonable. And I think we just need to kind of...
In which of which?
Well, I think the golf ball, the issue with losing golf balls, I think that one, that's a he said, she said situation. And I believe our staff, and I believe him and his staff too. But I don't think we're ever going to have a solution.
There actually would be a solution. The next time the basin is empty, we could put a screen, like a 2-inch square screen on it or something that would keep the golf balls on their side of the basin.
Yeah.
It came to mind. I mean, if they're worried about washing into burrs. Yeah.
And that's come up before too. But
okay.
To do something like that. But as far as right now, there's really not. So what I would intend to do would be to look at his revenue statements and work with him to figure out a minimum monthly rent and a revenue base, rent with a minimum monthly rent. And he seemed to be very, very open to doing that. And working in a payment plan for that delinquent rent. rather than just waiving it completely.
I wouldn't waive it. Everybody else paid it.
Yes.
I mean, I think just out of fairness, we couldn't do that. As far as reducing his rent, I don't know. I think other people would go into that area pretty easily, I've been told. And so, you know, why do we want to lower the rent? So, I don't know.
I think what they have there is pretty unique. And I'm good with reviewing the financials of the lease and see if there's any small helps that we could give them to help them maintain a business over there. But if they want to negotiate a long-term lease, I think at the same time, we want to look at that Caltrans property that we've had some issues mm-hmm. with. I'm not inclined to go with the decertification process where we deposit $25,000-$35,000 and then the money goes away in 2 months and then we still get no result. I would prefer that if we go into a long-term lease, hopefully in tandem we can work with Caltrans to get some level of a, you know, a long-term lease whereby we're paying a fraction of what we're receiving mm-hmm. as rent from Gentry Golf. So we still comes out on top, right? We're still in the positives. Because the moment we start talking about developing the site, Caltrans is going to turn that into commercial zoning rate, you know, if we're trying to acquire the piece of property. Mm-hmm. But I'm inclined not to even go there, you know, in the event that Gentry leaves the site, and then we'll just break that with Caltrans, that this is your property, we'll get all the stuff removed out of your property, and then we deal with our own property there. I think that would be cleaner.
Did I misunderstand? I thought this was only for a year.
This amendment is only for a year.
The extension is for 1 year.
This is for 1 year, but okay. they're requesting negotiating it.
But we said no to that.
We haven't said yes, but what was said by the board and the committee was negotiate a 1 year while we figure it out. While we figure out the Caltrans issue, and I think there's some other issues to figure out.
Right.
Development or whatever, other potential uses.
But I think Roger makes a very good point. I don't think we should be talking about, if that's the case, we better not talk about development or anything.
No, because the way it exists right now, that you cannot put any business over there, but if it's combined with our property, then there are a lot of opportunities. But then Caltrans would be inclined to say, well, you
sure.
intend to turn that into commercial zoning or light industrial, what have you. So, you know, in the best interests of the state, we're going to ask you for...
Of course.
Yeah, and not open space.
And how long do you think the negotiations with Caltrans will take?
Well, it could take a while.
Right.
And right now, the way it currently stands, the Caltrans land encompasses most of their Gentry's tees.
Yeah.
Where they tee the ball and goes into the actual water, into the basin, little portion into the basin. What they've sent, and I presented it last month or the month, it was last month, but I presented it to the committee, they are not willing to relinquish or decertify that entire 1.3 acres. They're only willing to decertify a portion of it, which still keeps the tees in Caltrans property. Oh.
So that Gentry will have to, or we
that
will
part,
have to pay?
So, and right now we're in a month-to-month with Caltrans that they're only approving 6 months at a time.
Right.
So the current month-to-month expires in January, I believe.
Okay.
I'm trying to get a meeting, and I've had several requests, and with Ricky as well, Ricky Rodriguez, trying to get a meeting to, number one, see if there's any way we can negotiate or talk about decertifying more of that land so that so that it can be used.
And make a deposit, and we'll look into that.
Well, we still have the deposit, and I don't think, But the other part of it is so what do we do if they're not willing to decertify that portion? Can we? Would they entertain a long-term lease for the land as opposed to the district buying it? We have several questions. Do we want to buy, if they're willing to decertify a portion of it, does the district want to buy that portion of it? It's just the piece in the water, basically. If not, is there potential for a long-term lease with Caltrans? And then we can continue to operate as we always have there and lease it out to Gentry or whomever else may be there. So those are the kind of questions that I'm trying to get resolved with Caltrans.
I missed last month.
It's all, there's a lot of moving parts.
I didn't pick up that, okay.
Yeah.
The betterment that Gentry called put in there straddles two properties. That's the problem. So it's not a clean break.
Can we bring it up?
Are you able to bring up the Google?
I can bring it up.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask Roger. He's saying that if Caltrans sort of, if Caltrans finds out or senses that we've got a bigger plan in mind, they're going to start increasing the short-term rent immediately. Is that what I hear you say? Is that what I hear you?
Potentially.
Potentially. So we
potentially, and also they're going to argue that, you see, you have something bigger in mind. So.
So we want to try to
anything that we're trying to acquire from you.
So we're better off to leave Gentry there and let don't kick any sleeping dogs.
Right, and as long as we come out on top in terms of rent, then let's just call it good.
Buy as much as they'll sell us, and then get a long term.
I'm not even sure we should buy anything.
Why not?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Because we can lose it.
No. You buy it at a lower price, and then with the rest of it, if you had to pay a higher price, you could.
What we'd want to buy as much as we can, wouldn't we?
Do we have any benefit in buying it other than to keep the tenant's betterment?
Because we might have a long-term better use for that. That's why we'd want to buy the land.
We already got a very large piece of property there.
Okay.
1.3 acres? Is that what?
No. Our property is much bigger.
So. Oh, yeah.
But what I'm thinking is that 1.3 is really against the freeway, and it almost serves as kind of a buffer. So maybe you're right, we don't need to own it because we really wouldn't be able to.
The on-ramp,
The on-ramp, if in the case that 57 gets widened, the on-ramp would be reconfigured, right?
Okay.
And so chances are you get pushed out, then they would need right-of-way for that. And they just don't want to hinder their ability to do that in the future. If they just sell the entire piece to OCWC, in the event that the freeway needs to be widened, now they got to come back to us and buy it back. So,
this is from the staff report from the September property meeting. So this whole area is 1.3 acres, more or less, and Caltrans that we've asked to decertify. So the T's run along here and then along this side of the red line up to about here or so. And Caltrans saying that they're willing to decertify this portion here, but not this portion here. So primarily it looks like they've drawn the line where the basin is, more or less. So that's what we're trying to get resolved. I've also advised the committee that there's also this odd little piece here.
It never got vacated?
It never got vacated.
It's by part of Old Ball Road.
Ball Road. This looks like the alignment of Old Ball Road never got vacated. It's not part of Caltrans, and that's what Caltrans has said. So, but I haven't contacted the county yet to talk to them about it. So I want to try to see what we need to do about the Caltrans property. But
the county may just give it to us. It's a maintenance problem. Potentially.
Possibly, yeah. So I'll be contacting them about it. So did I answer your question about and Director Sheldon, you asked me to pull it up.
So we think they're willing to sell the hash mark area?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so I think we just keep everything chill and we try to buy it. Because that's got enough setback from the where they might do an expansion.
And Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that the T is still going to be in that Caltrans portion?
Yes.
See, that's the problem.
but they'll let us lease that, though.
And continue to lease a smaller piece?
Yeah, we'll lease a smaller piece and buy
it. Rent month to month?
Right. But for now,
I can have those discussions with Caltrans and come back to the committee.
But isn't that what we asked? Because that's what's reflected in that plan is that we lease the white and we buy the hash mark.
But, well, that hasn't
been approved.
That hasn't been approved. That just was information. This was informational last month.
This is what we want.
We want all of that.
Okay, but we can't get the white.
Yes.
Mike, you want to?
And we only need to lease a certain part of that.
Right.
I think. The T's don't extend all the way up. So if the committee decided they wanted to purchase this property and then lease a portion of that so that our lessee is legal, so to speak, I mean, that is an option.
And what price do we think we want to buy that for? That like an open space price? Did we discuss the valuation of that?
We did. We had it appraised, and off the top of my head, I don't recall. It was 100 and for the entire 1.3, it was like 120,000. I think. Well,
we should definitely
that pipeline relocation.
Should definitely try to buy
that. Was our appraisal. Caltrans' original appraisal was like $1.2 million. That they did an over the fence appraisal, looking at the other dealers. So the purchase price would have to be negotiated.
But there again, Director Sheldon, if I understand what you're saying, you're interested in just looking at that piece of property.
Well, that's
from a purchase point of view.
I mean, if we can buy that, we should.
And if they're willing to decertify, they should be willing to enter into a negotiation to purchase
right?
the property.
Is there anything
probably not for 130 or 120, probably.
Then we can negotiate up.
But why would we?
Because it could be part of a
because
larger...
Because now it's big enough to put a commercial enterprise there. And across the street are some car dealerships. So
it, could
it has
the
a lot
parking.
Of potential. They always go with the highest and best use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is 1.2.
Right now, it's just if we could buy it there at a kind of reasonable price, we should.
And if it takes a long time, the committee could consider just having a year-to-year lease with Gentry.
Gentry, yeah.
Right.
In other words, we have a 1 year right now, and we're saying they want a 20-year. Well, we just tell them, well, hey, now, we're just going to do it year-to-year.
Will it take that long to buy it?
Once they decertify it, I think then it's negotiating the final price.
And how long does it be? What's the process? How long?
Decertification is they can take up to 2 years. Now they didn't expect it. They don't expect this very long. So Caltrans' question to me is, based on that they won't decertify the entire property, do we want to continue with the decertification or not? And I haven't responded to them, but my direction from the board is decertification is to. Do the decertification process, and I would just continue to do whatever, continue with the decertification of whatever land
they're willing
to decertify.
That would be
and if we move forward, we'll get to the point where the only thing on the table is whether we could agree on the price. Agree to whatever price they're asking, right?
Correct.
I think you're going to have a hard time trying to make them go down on the price because it's always the highest and best use.
Well, they went down on the price for the lease.
For the month-to-month.
Yeah.
And that took some work.
Based on the appraisal, yes.
Right, because they were going to charge us commercial rate.
Well, I think we should go forward, and if at the end of the day we can't stomach the price, then we don't do the deal. But I think at this rate, if we take the lease we're getting is a good value, and if we can then have that same theory for the purchase of the land because they've agreed upon that for the lease of the land, let's try to push forward with that because that would be a great acquisition.
So as far as Caltrans is concerned, I'm just going to keep moving forward with what the board has directed me to do with the decertification process. Bringing it back to the recommended actions then for the Gentry lease and the delinquent rent, Staff's recommending approval of the 1 year lease. And then I think on direction on the delinquent rent and the rent waiver, I think it's further discussions with Mr. Green, looking at his revenue statements and coming back to the committee with a recommendation.
Okay. You know, if we go back to Caltrans and show them that our tenants paying us less money and we're all, you know, this is just a, you know, this is just a hole in the ground, and that helps our story.
So we did.
Right, and we'll continue to do that. Right.
We did that because initially I think Caltrans wants how much in rent? Remind me, over 10,000.
It was
more
yes,
than what
was
we're,
like, yes.
what we're
was
getting
like
for that.
Yes,
so
it was considerably.
I think the staff recommendation is a wise one, and I support it. I think that's what we should do.
But I'm not willing to waive the delinquent rent.
Why don't we keep that just in abeyance while we have this other discussion?
It
yes,
wouldn't be fair to everybody else who's paid it. Everybody else has paid it.
What I'm suggesting is that staff go back and negotiate with.
Right.
With
that's what I mean. I agree with
on,
that.
On a revenue-based rent with a minimum monthly rent and some kind of payment plan for the delinquent rent that's incorporated into that. And he also sounded very amenable to some concept of that. So, and then I would come back to the committee with a recommendation.
Okay. I think it's a good suggestion.
Sounds good. So I move the staff recommendation, what Bruce just said.
Is there a second? I'll second it.
I'm sorry, my mouth is full.
All in favor? Aye. I had four ayes, four nods, yes, at the record show.
Great.
Let's move on to the next. Thank you. Thank you. Move on to the next.
Next item is quarterly report on leases and permits. For the third quarter of 2018, ending September 2018, the rents collected was $309,947, which is an increase over last year's same quarter, $15,866, or 5.55%. And year to date, 2018 is $1.1 million compared to $990,000 last year, which is an increase of almost 12% over last year. The reason the rents seem higher this year is primarily due to Dancop Crushing's rent increase last year, or since last year. Also, it's offset because Sandbagger was delinquent in rent, which I'm happy to say as of yesterday, he is now up to date on August and September rent, however late on October rent.
You pay the rent at the beginning of the month?
Yes. Yeah.
He doesn't, but
no. he had a good third quarter. He paid it up. No.
Paid up. So there are no lease expiring in the fourth quarter, but first quarter of next year, Sandbagger lease expires. The board last year only authorized extending his lease 1 year because of the rent delinquency. So it comes up again March 31st, 2019. And then Montoya, which is the nursery along Santiago Basin, I believe that's U Street. That expires at May 31st, 2019. The original lease was 2009. There was that expired in 2014. There was a 5-year option that they and the board exercised, which brings it to March of 2019. So that I will likely come back to the committee with that one. And let's see, I already said Sandwood is current through September for the third quarter. And we've already discussed Gentry Golf today, and that concludes my report on rents and permits.
Any questions for staff? Great.
Final item is an informational item on the Ball Road Basin property and on the general plan amendment. So the committee is aware that we presented the general plan amendment to the Planning Commission. And it's been continued to December 10th so that we can discuss with staff some of the committee's concerns. Some of those concerns were lack of a project plan, loss of open space in the city, as well as communicating with the neighbors and making sure that anything that was developed there was compatible with the businesses and neighbors, including the Honda Center. And then traffic was an issue, and there seemed to be not, even though traffic was very thoroughly studied in the EIR, that was a concern, and they had some questions about traffic. So I had a conference call with planning staff and the planning director on October 11th, and we discussed those concerns, and we talked about some of the steps that we could take for the prior to the December 10th Planning Commission meeting. And there's some questions and clarifications that city staff can have for the Planning Commission. That would be on what type of uses are allowed, commercial uses would be allowed on that property. A better explanation of the traffic impacts of development on that property. And what city staff suggested that the district do is outreach and meet and discuss with the neighbors there, the Auto Center people, Honda Center people. So we left it at that, and we have a follow-up conference call next week to discuss how to move forward with this. Now, the committee knows we're Voight and districts in negotiations with a potential buyer right now, and that's still moving along, I think, pretty well. So that concludes my report on the Fall River Basin property.
Thank you. Any questions first?
The city council takes precedence over this, right?
Yes, it goes ultimately to the city council.
It ultimately goes to city council. If the planning commission denies the application, it can be appealed. I understand that it can be appealed.
The planning commission makes a recommendation to city council. But if the planning commission recommends denial, it makes it a challenge for most city councils to approve.
No, I'm kind of approve with planning.
Not us.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. In theory.
Those are the best ones.
James keeps quiet.
I got denied a Fullerton Planning Commission. 1,200 bed, 350 unit senior housing, right? Costly Fullerton. Got approved.
I stand correct.
5-0 to city council.
Mm. I can think of a few, honey.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right. And I didn't direct your comments. Wait. So we'll agendize whatever items for the consent. Is there what goes on? The OCTA matter goes on consent, and the Trinity Golf goes on consent?
Correct.
Director comments? General manager staff comments? We're adjourned. Thank you. Chapman and the...